Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. All that life stuff. Like we've been talking about this just like, I guess just kind of yesterday. Like I've got a kidney stone going on. And so I was trying to think of what is the best event I could do at night, the best sport that would go along with a kidney stone. And we came up with bowling. Yeah. I went bowling last night with our small group.
It was not enjoyable. You think like you're the victim here, I am. But actually you're not, because you decided to go because you were guilted because you have skimped out in the past.
Yes.
So had you not done that in the past, then you skimping out on bowling wouldn't have been a big deal.
Whoa. For sure. Yeah. So like it was 100% my fault. Like the whole small group was getting together and they're all really nice people and they were doing bowling. And I didn't feel horrible at the time, but I didn't feel great when it was time to leave.
It definitely didn't help.
No, not at all. Like I was marginal, and Marty was great. She's like, if you don't want to go, I'll just call and tell them we're not coming. I'm like, no, I've skipped out on things before. Like I'll go. And so I'll be fine. And we got there and I was not fine. Like I picked up bowling balls and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is hard. Like it just hurt. And everybody was so kind. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm dealing with kidney stone. And I'm just trying to like, stay in myself and focus and like, oh, this just hurts. And they were all really nice, and it was really fun because everybody knows kind of my stance on prayer, about praying for traveling mercies and everything at the end. And Eric, our small group leader, was so funny. He's like, so we could do prayer requests real quick before we get up out of here. I think there's one that I know we all could do a prayer for a kidney stone.
But it doesn't matter because God's not going to change his mind anyways on our prayers, like I know. Wally says.
And so I'm like, he's like, we could lay hands on you. I'm like, absolutely not.
Yes.
Have you, like once in the last few days, have you at all taken this to God?
No.
Or is this just like, deal with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like, now have I said, oh Lord, this hurts. Yes.
Also, I think I'm quoting verbatim when I say Wally said something this morning to the effect of, I wish God would come down and send a chariot for me. Take me up like he did Elijah. Yes. I don't want to die. Yeah. I just want to go.
I have a flair for the dramatic. Yes. That was actually said. But then Betty followed up with, I don't think you're righteous enough for a chariot.
Well, I said Elijah was a super holy man, and I think you're going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, just send an Uber then. That's fine.
Maybe a metro bus.
Yeah, it's something smaller. I'm fine with that.
A beat up old van.
I don't even care at this point.
With an extra seat on a bike.
Yes, even the back seat. It just hurts.
Do you think biking right now, if Gregor Bear was like, let's go mountain biking, would you be able to make it?
I would go.
No,
you would not. That's
so wrong.
Yeah, but I would not. It would not be happy at the end.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Do you go because you don't want Gregor Bear to judge you or think that you're a wimp?
No, I don't like missing out on things.
Oh, you have FOMO.
Well, yeah, I just like to do stuff. Like
you
I don't
have FOMO.
No, it's not that.
You have FOMO.
No, it's not FOMO. It's that I don't like being still, and I like doing stuff, and so it's like I don't like to
sit
not,
in your thoughts.
Yeah, I'd rather
think
go
about how your life took a turn.
Yeah, why I have kidney stones and stuff. You know, yeah. But it is funny, Gavin. You talk about like bringing it to God, because I mean, like what am I personally going to say? Hey, this really stinks. This isn't a lot of fun. Could you heal me of my kidney stone? And do I believe he's going to like take it away? I just don't. I just think this is life, you know, and it's just the way it goes. And this is part of what I have to deal with, and I deal with it, you know?
I'm going to say that to you the next time you're like, ugh.
Oh no, I know. But again, I'm consistent. Like I don't, if I'm not like taking things that I don't think I should take to him, you know, and all this sounds horrible. I fully understand.
No, I personally do agree with this one right here.
Yeah. Cause if I don't take the other things, why would I take the thing that is painful for me and like, oh, you got to cure this? Because then I'm just like that guy that's like just running to God, like when things are so bad and it's beyond you, and you're oh, here's my rainy day friend again, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I don't ever want to be that person.
Now, in this situation, what if Haley, your daughter, was going through something that hurt her, like a kidney stone?
Sure.
As her dad, wouldn't you want her to call you anytime she was like hurting and just call you and tell you.
Sure. Yeah. I get that. I see what you're doing. I see your analogy.
It's a good twist, actually.
Yeah, I see your analogy. I tend to just think, like, if you're not going to, like, I would, but I mean, I'd like to solve it for her, but if I couldn't solve it for her.
You don't want her to call you?
No, I don't know that that's true, but like, I don't want her to whine about it. Like, if I can't, like, if I can't solve it, then.
Shut up about it?
Well, yeah, because it's like, yeah, like, I don't want to do that to someone. Like, if you can't solve my issue, then why do I want to, like, just belabor the point with you kind of thing? You know, because I can't, like, that's frustrating as a guy. Because, like, and women, like, oh, I just want you to hear me. Okay, yeah. That's fine. But, like, for me, I'd rather fix the problem. And when I can't fix it, there's been times when I've been, like, in a different state. And my wife or my daughter would call me. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know, like, I can't solve this for you. You know, oh, I just needed to tell you. Well, that now we both are having a bad day, you know.
So anyway,
but all that said, I would like something to happen on this.
Okay, let me just point out too.
Yeah,
we're 10 minutes in. Okay,
sure.
And you've taken up this time.
Yeah.
To talk about your
kidney stone.
Kidney stone.
Yeah.
Don't you see? You do want to talk about it. You do want to...
Well, because I talk about life stuff because I wanted to have the conversation, too, about, like, prayer and not taking it to God versus taking it to God. Because I think that's something that is something people will have
for
an opinion
sure.
on.
Maybe this is something you should take to God and say...
And I'm willing to have that discussion.
I don't want to take this to you because right. I don't want to take it.
I don't think it's a conscious thing. Here's the thing. I think you misunderstand a little bit of me or my faith. It's not a conscious thing like, oh, I'm not taking this to God because he, you know, can't deal with this or anything like that. Or I doubt your power. Like, it's none of that. It's just, for me, it's like, this is just life, and life just happens. And so it's what I just feel like I just have to deal with. And so I just deal with it. Like, it's not like, and it's not like, oh, I need strength to get through because it's a kidney stone. It stinks. It's not fun. It hurts. And I'll get through it.
But I like to play devil's advocate and also a little psychology on you and think about, like you say, it's just life. I just have to deal with it. But what if... God forbid someone you love and close to you got cancer. Would you say, okay, this is just life. Just got to deal with it.
Right. No, I get that because that is a big thing.
But you see that as maybe a life or death situation, whereas kidney stones, it's not.
I've dealt with it for years. Yeah, exactly. I feel that in the grand scheme of things that God needs to worry about today, this is small.
Also, I think you're afraid to bring it to God because God will say, you should change what you eat and drink.
Yes.
And you're going to say, let me stop you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to do that.
No, I do think that so much of prayer, like for me, does come down to my own doubts about how you pray. When you pray for outcomes, I think that that's the problem that I struggle with. Because if you pray for outcomes and it doesn't work out the way you think it should, then you have this tendency to think that God doesn't listen, he doesn't care, he's uninvolved. And that's not how I ever want to actually believe, you know? And so for me, if I don't think that God is going to zap this thing out of me, then, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to take it to him because then I've set up this false sense of like hope that
you don't want to be let down
and I think there's an element of
so it's
of
a it's
faith in
it's like a security wall.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that.
I get that.
Now, like when I finally pass the stone, I'm thankful. I'm like, man, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Like, I've been through it so many times. Like, oh Lord, thank you. That was pretty awesome. I appreciate that. You know,
because you feel instant relief once you pass it.
Instantly, yeah. Oof. You go from your life feeling like nothing is right to like, oh, what do you guys want to do now? Let's go run a marathon. You want to go have some more soda? Let's do soda.
Oh my gosh.
How do I get
you
the next one going?
You don't change your ways.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Yeah. So again, I know, look, I think, but again, we talk about this stuff because I think that other people feel the same way.
For
or
sure.
Or it forces you, even if you disagree with me, and I'm fine, I'm willing to be wrong about all of this stuff too. But I think what it does is when you have the conversation, it forces somebody to figure out where they land on it.
Right.
You know, and like, oh no, I don't believe like that. I believe like this. Yeah. And it can entrench what you believe. And I think that's good. Even our doubts can actually end up solidifying our faith, or can actually help somebody else too. Mm-hmm.
So. I agree.
Anyway, let's go over this. Oh, Betty Rock, you had seen a story the other day and you were wondering, and I found the answer to the story. You were like, in Las Vegas, all these people just ran through security at an airport, and we were like, did they just not want to wait? Were flights late? And they just stormed it.
Yeah, and there was a picture I saw. It was a bunch of people. Like, there was no sitting room, no nothing, just people standing still in the Las Vegas airport. And they were saying under the caption, people were having to get delayed 3 to 4 hours because they were going to have to recheck everyone. Ugh. I can't imagine.
Yeah. The frustration of traveling and that happening. Uh-uh. And then it gets more frustrating when you find out why. Somebody like was slamming a door or throwing a trash can or something like that to make noise that sounded like a gunshot in the hallway. And that's why everyone panicked and stampeded. Oof. In essence.
Why would someone do that?
Well, he was not in a good place. Apparently, he had been arrested for having an altercation at a ticket counter the day, like 24 hours before.
Oh.
Got out that fast. Like, how do you get out that fast? I've bailed people out of jail before. It is not a fast process. So he gets out. I guess he comes back and then he makes these noises. And I'm assuming he did it intentionally to start that kind of reaction or freak people out because he knew it would. Or it is possible he was just completely angry and slammed something, and then people's minds took over. They haven't really said one way or the other, you know. But you,
I could see where that would cause chaos.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, but anyway, he got rearrested. So I guess he won't be doing it again for a little while. Anyway, this was an interesting thing. Bryce Dallas Howard. She is in the movie Jurassic World. She is the female co-star of Chris Pratt. Well, she opened up in an interview recently and pointed out that she was paid much less than Chris Pratt was. They said she was paid $2 million and Chris Pratt took home $10
million. Whoa.
I'm surprised he only took home $10 million, actually.
Yeah, for that big of a movie. And then
the star.
Yeah.
Like,
but going back and watching that, well, she may have had more screen time than him.
Yeah, I'm thinking you say he's the star, but she is too. I think she had just as much time, if not more.
Mm-hmm. But again, he's the draw to the show. Like, he's the star power, and his character, like, maybe she has more lines here or there or whatever, but his character is what's bringing people to the show. Like, so that person, man or woman, would expect is going to be paid more, depending. But it is shining light on what they say is a disparity in payment between men and women in Hollywood, and that it's been a long-standing thing. And that so she was speaking out about
it. Do you believe it's true?
Yes and no. I do, because there was a big fight when men were making $20 million a film and women were making $10 million. You know, it's still a lot of money, but I think it comes down to, the reason I say yes and no is because it comes down to the kind of movie that's being made and what can be made off of it. Okay. So if you take an action film, typically those are guy-driven action films, and you spend all this money and you're going to make $100 million on it. Okay, and so you pay $20 million for the action guy that's going to bring things in. If you take a movie that is more like, say, a female-led character, but it doesn't have the potential upside to make as much money because just not as many people are going to go to it, even though she's the lead, I think it's prorated in essence. Like, so should she make $20 million? No, she should probably make $14 million or whatever if it's not going to generate as much money. I think that's how you look at it more than gender.
Yeah.
It's what
I see
is,
what you're saying.
Is the lead role worth to this film, regardless of who?
I will say, though, that I think there's a drastic $8 million difference between the two. I don't know if $2 million, it should have been maybe $5 million.
Sure.
If at least half. But let me ask this question.
Yeah.
You say like a female lead and, okay, let's say it's an action movie and it's female led.
Yes.
What gets the audience, which is probably typically the male persuasion, what gets them into the theater to where that female actress can make that amount of money?
Yeah, I don't know. The problem is a lot of like the female-led action films, for example, they don't do that great. Like Catwoman didn't do really great. The last Batwoman girl got canceled. What was that movie, Peppermint, with What was her name?
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, Peppermint. So, like, okay, so out of everybody in that movie, she should hands down make more than everybody else because she's the lead character and the story is about her, and so she's the action. She should make more than everybody else. But if that movie is only going to generate $50 million, she shouldn't make 20. You know, no one should. If that if it was a guy and the movie that is only going to make $50 million, they should only make, you know, a percentage of it. So it definitely is tricky because for years there has been the disparity. And I do think that there still is. I mean, I definitely think that there still is.
Yeah, I think probably, I mean, we can only know so much from this article, but I think her saying the drastic difference between their two incomes or what they earned for the movie,
right.
I think that's her main point. Maybe it's not that she should be making even if not more, but when you say he's making 10 and she's making 2,
right.
If she's making 2 million and she's not going to draw in a crowd, well, then you don't need her saying as many lines as you do.
Yeah, fine. Cut her then. Cut her whole part out.
Could they have done the movie without her?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Or with just less of her. Yeah. So.
And I would kind of argue that in terms of if you were trying to draw the people in.
Right.
Cutting Chris Pratt would have probably really hurt the film.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hmm.
So.
Which I feel bad about saying.
Well, yeah. Either way, the movie was terrible.
It took you a while to say that.
I, at least 8 times, maybe if not more, thought, when does it end?
Well, it is interesting because there are other people in there that they had brought back for that movie, and you didn't hear them talking about it, and what did they make in it? What did Laura Dern make in it? You know, what did the other Sam, whatever his name is, make in it?
Yeah.
Like, did they make less than her or more than her? That's the bigger question, more than the star. To me, the person who's the outright star in it, like, what did those people make? There was one cool thing in this story, though, is I guess her contract was done. Because here's the other thing, too. Hollywood is all about your agent. Your agent's got to get you the deal. That's what you do. And so Chris Pratt's agent is going to push and get him everything he can get. Her agent needed to do the exact same thing.
True.
But that didn't happen. And so what was cool, though, was Pratt pushed for her to receive equal pay on all the other franchise opportunities, including spinoffs and games and theme park rides and all that stuff. He's like, okay, what's done is done on the contract. Like, I can't do that. But from here on out, you know, I want to help with this. And she even said, I love him so much for doing that. I really do, because I've been paid more for those kind of things than I ever was before this movie. And she added, whenever there's an opportunity to move the needle on this stuff that hadn't been negotiated, like the game or a ride, he literally told me, you guys don't need to do anything. I'm going to do all the negotiating and we're going to get paid the same. And you don't have to think about this. So I think it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, but I'm not seeing anything on what everybody made.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to figure it out, though.
Yeah, but again, I mean, so I get why the feelings would be hurt on that, too, because if you value yourself and your character and you think, oh, it's just as important, then you want to be paid equally for that, but still nothing.
Hired the actor for less than $5 million for Jurassic World, and after the success of the first part, Pratt was paid $10 million. For the sequel, and $2 million more than his co-lead actor Bryce. Oh, so $2 million more? So she was making $8 million?
Well, wait a minute here. That's different. Oh yeah, $2 million less. Oh, she made 8. We all read that wrong.
Oh.
She made two million.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Come on. We all read that wrong because of the headline was.
She
still made $8 million, yeah, and you were the
fine lead.
I love how Betty quickly turned on her tail.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Good.
Oh, that is so funny. We all literally made that same mistake. So she made $8 million. That's only $2 million less. That's not bad.
That's fair.
Come on now.
That's kind of silly.
All right. I think that's going to do it for our aftercast
for
today.
No, it's
not.
No. Maybe some...
Do you have... Do you have...
You took my least of these.
That's what I thought. We just did... We coded the least of these. But do we have birthdays?
We do have birthdays.
That's what I wanted to do.
Was it?
Yeah, I was going to say that's going to be the Aftercast, but then we're going to do birthdays. Ish.
That's what I thought. Okay, we've got Sarah and Leah who want to wish their brother Samuel a happy birthday, saying his happy sweet 16 and golden birthday. Wow. We discovered the Wally Show in October of 2020, and we have loved it ever since with Wally's antics, Betty's sass, and Gavin's parodies. Great job, guys.
Gavin, I got credit for that.
I've done like one.
It must have been a good one.
Yeah.
Don't even remember.
Maddie, Dink, Will, Avalon, Kay, and Liam all want to wish Carla a happy birthday. She's a wonderful mother to her three biological kids and her two foster kids.
Oh, nice.
One of whom we will be adopting. She makes bad jokes and likes to sing old 90s songs loudly. Question. What odd thing do you think should be put on a taco? They say bacon.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, bacon goes good on most anything. Ice cream, a taco ice cream.
Well,
remember they have those. They have chocolate tacos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about mashed potatoes?
That's made my stomach
weirdly
turn.
Thanksgiving-y, but like the texture of mashed potatoes.
You added like turkey.
A turkey taco?
Like it's grounded turkey.
Fish tacos are weird enough to me.
I don't like fish tacos.
Yeah. I think tacos are one of the worst inventions ever.
Oh, boo.
I really
do. No, they're the best.
No. They're the worst food delivery device
ever. I don't like hard shell tacos.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think hard shell tacos are terrible. Soft shell tacos
are mini burritos.
Yeah, but they're still tacos.
Yeah, I know. They're mini burritos.
Okay.
But the hard shell taco is the worst food delivery system.
You can't eat them.
No.
Like you're basically eating.
You bite it.
Picking up what's left over.
It crunches, it breaks, and then like, well, I should just have taco salad then. Like, that's what I do. Whenever my wife wants to have tacos at home, like she'll make tacos, I just make taco salad. I just beat up all of the taco shells. I crack them all, and then I put it all in a bowl.
Smart.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm like, crunch, and then half of it drips out all over you and stuff.
That's
so
where you just get a chip and you scoop it up.
Yeah, no, that's what I do. It's a preemptive strike. I just break it all ahead of time because I know it's going to hose me. So.
Smart, I think.
Yeah, really smart. Ingenious. All right, well, with that...
You know what? On that note,
yes.
Now I think we can end our Aftercast. So as always, thank you so, so much for being a potty.
I have one more thing that I...